Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Before we get started with our message today, I'm really excited to let you know I've now released my first book, Breaking Free, A Guide to Achieving Personal and Professional Freedom as a Lawyer. I'm dedicated to helping you find the success and freedom from stress and burnout in your practice. Breaking Free gives you the tools and actionable steps that allow you success and fulfillment in ways you never thought possible. You will see how to overcome the stress and overwhelm you feel and to achieve a life of freedom, joy, and success. I will leave a link in the show notes where you can purchase it. I hope you enjoy reading Breaking Free as much as I have enjoyed writing it. Now to the rest of our episode. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. Before I get started with our guests, I just want to say how much I appreciate your support of this podcast. It's seen and heard by so many people. And for those of you who listen to the Free Lawyer regularly, I want to thank you. If you are open to give me a rating and review, an honest one, I greatly appreciate that because that helps it get seen by more people. And feel free to share it with your friends. If you don't listen to it regularly, click the follow button so you'll get to hear episodes like this. They'll be waiting for you on your phone when you wake up in the morning. Because, you know, one of my passions in law is leadership. I think we have a lot of difficulties with leadership. A lot of folks become leaders without having an aptitude for it or training for it. They became leaders because they settled the last big case or they brought in the most clients, which aren't necessarily the hallmark of being a good leader. So I wanted to bring you today someone who's absolutely an expert on leadership. Oakland McCullough served many years in the military, and now his passion is to instill leadership principles around the spectrum in the military, in private industry, and he has a lot to share with us about how we can be good leaders. Oak, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Gary.
Well, I appreciate having you here because you really are one of the foremost experts on what leadership is and means and how to create a leadership culture in your among your team. So, Oak, I know you served for quite some years in the military. Tell me a little bit about your career, what you did, and also what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I did 23 years on active duty in the Army. Started off as an infantry officer, did my first 5 years in the infantry, which included a deployment for Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Then I switched over to Armor Cavalry, and I did my last 18 years in the Armor Cav, and that included a deployment to Bosnia and Kosovo doing peacekeeping. Did a couple disaster relief operations, Hurricane Hugo in Charleston and Hurricane Andrew in Homestead, Florida. And my last assignment, I ran an Army ROTC program at University of South Alabama, where I was helping to produce the next generation of leaders for the Army and for this nation. And now...
That's wonderful. Oak, let me thank you for your service.
Yeah.
You have family and... You have a home, but you've been to, you know, Bosnia and Kosovo and Iraq to help keep us safe. And I appreciate you for that service.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me what you're doing.
And now, like you said, I'm just getting out, talking to as many people as I can about leadership.
And you wrote a book with your years of experience called Your Leadership Legacy. What inspired you to write Your Leadership Legacy and to share those insights and experiences, and what are the main principles or concepts in your book?
Yeah, so the reason I wrote it was because I really do believe that it is our responsibility, current leaders, and people who have gained some knowledge and some experience to pass that on to the next generation of leaders. If we don't do it, then who does? And we are going to reap what we sow. I mean, if we don't do a good job producing leaders, then we deserve what we get. And so in my book, I don't talk about theory at all. I don't even think the word theory is in that book. I talk about everyday things that everyday leaders can do to improve their leadership abilities and skills and to help make the people and the organization they have the privilege to lead better. So I talk about servant leadership. I talk about communication, building teams, solving problems, professional development, all those type of things.
So the term servant leadership is used a lot, and we all know servant leadership is a good thing. But what does servant leadership mean, and what is its contrast, or what's the flip side of it that often is the leadership mechanism that some people use that is the opposite of servant leadership?
Yeah. So to me, servant leadership is about taking care of the people and the organization that you, again, have the privilege to lead. You know, it's, and it doesn't mean you let them do whatever they want, because I get that all the time. Well, I don't want people walking all over me. But that's not what servant leadership is about. It's guaranteed you're going to have to make people do things that they may not want to do, because it really is in their best interest. So to me, it's all about taking care of people, putting people first, and building that team that allows your organization to be as good as it can be. And, you know, the flip side of it is those leaders that are micromanaging, authoritarian, do things exactly the way I tell you to do it. And those people are horrible. And we've all worked for that person and nobody enjoyed that.
Right.
On the other side, you know, you've got servant leadership where you are using other people's skills, knowledge, abilities, giving them some authority to get things done and let them do it the way they would do it. Will they do it the way you would have done it? Absolutely not. But who cares, as long as they get the job done?
That's wonderful. Can you share some principles or lessons you've learned that are really relevant to today's leaders, in particularly like I focus on the legal profession where it's such a struggle, but what are the most important principles that you think are relevant to today's leaders?
Well, I think the one that we're lacking in today's leaders in all professions and at all levels, government, military, business, universities, wherever you want to talk about, is accountability. People have forgotten, leaders have forgotten that they are responsible for everything that does or does not happen in their organization. You don't get to pick and choose what you want to take responsibility for. That it doesn't work that way, or at least it shouldn't. You are responsible for everything that does or doesn't happen. And we see that at all levels in every profession where people aren't taking a responsibility for decisions they've made or for what they've allowed to happen inside their organization.
You know, what I see sometimes that is the opposite of accountability is blame.
Yeah.
When someone's a leader and something goes wrong, they want to point fingers. You did this. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
And that creates such a toxic atmosphere. It creates fear in the folks who work for that leader. And I've seen that all too often.
Yeah. It stifles all creativity. Well, why am I going to do something? Why am I going to make a decision and do something if I'm going to get blamed for it? I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And that stifles all creativity, and that doesn't help the organization one bit.
You talked about micromanaging. Share with me your thoughts about the importance of kind of responsible delegation to folks underneath you in whatever environment it is. How does that factor into the concept of being a good leader?
Yeah. So micromanaging is evil. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You destroy your organization when you do that. And it's never as good as it could be. And the reason is, here's the reason. This is why it's evil. Because when you micromanage somebody, you are cheating them out of an experience. The problem is, you're not only cheating them out of that experience, you are cheating everybody who ever works for that person out of that experience, because they don't have it to pass along. So the way to delegate things, and I'm a firm believer in pushing down authority and decision-making to the lowest level possible. And the way to do that is, number one, you train people to the standards you expect them to meet. Number two, you give them the time, the resources, the time, the money, the people, the equipment, whatever they need to get that job done. Then you give them the authority. You can't give away responsibility. That's yours. But you can give away authority. Give them the authority that they need to get the job done, and then get out of their way. Let them do it the way they want to do it. As long as they stay inside your left and right limits, who cares? And the analogy I always use is 7 plus 2 is 9, but so is 6 plus 3 and 5 plus 4 and 8 plus 1. Why do you care how you got to 9? Just get me to 9. That's all I care about. And if you give them that authority, you will use their talents, their abilities, their creativity, and you'll be shocked at what they do for you.
Wow, that's great advice. Be devil's advocate for a minute for the leader who is accountable and responsible for the results of his or her team. Why might they not be afraid to turn over that responsibility when I'm the one who's accountable, but I'm afraid to turn it over to you because I've trained you, but what if you screw up? Then it's on me.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are going to make mistakes. There are no perfect people in this world. The only perfect person that ever walked this world, we nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago. So we're all going to make mistakes. Here's the thing. Just because you turn over accountability and authority to people, and you should hold everybody accountable, and then when you hand over authority, doesn't mean you wash your hands of that. You don't micromanage it, but you don't wash your hands of it. You know, once a week, whatever you want to do, have a in-progress review, have a kind of talk with the person. Okay, where are you? What you doing? Make sure they're on the right track. If they're not, then you can give them some suggestions of how to get back on track. Don't tell them how, but give them suggestions. And that way you kind of keep your finger on the pulse. Does that mean something's never going to go wrong? Absolutely not. But that's okay. If something goes wrong and there's a mistake made, then let's learn from it. Because that's how you learn. You don't learn from experience. You learn from reflection on that experience. So when every time an event is done, think about, call people together that were involved and say, okay, what were we supposed to do? What did we do? How can we get better? Even if you accomplish what you were supposed to, you can still get better at it. So reflect on every event and learn from the mistakes that are made so that you don't make them again and you improve the organization.
That's such good advice. I've been practicing law for 45 years, and I found that I learn most from my mistakes. When everything goes well, when my Ravens win a game 56-19, they probably don't learn a whole lot from that. But when they struggle and make mistakes and plays go wrong and someone does, they can learn how to fix that and get better.
That's right.
And so often I've seen when those mistakes are made, I've seen in law, poor leaders want to point fingers. Why did you do that? Instead of, okay, what was our plan? What happened? And how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? So that's we improve right. Our process. Yeah. And that's a much better collaborative way to build a team, isn't it?
It is. Because it all comes down to trust. And how is somebody going to trust you if you're pointing fingers and blaming them for stuff? That doesn't serve anybody's purpose. No, nobody's. You got to take responsibility. You got to fix the things that are wrong and learn from the mistakes that are happened. And if you do that, your organization is going to be much better.
Oak, I know you speak a lot about leadership. You've written a book about leadership. What are some common misconceptions or challenges about leadership that you've seen in the work you've done?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is, you know, and it goes back to selfless service. People forget why they are the leader, why they've been given that privilege. And I always go back to when I talk to people, and especially young leaders, I say, look, it's not about you and it's all about you. It's not about you and the title you get or the privileges you're going to get or that you're going to get better pay and live in a nicer house and drive a nicer car. Let's face it, leaders get those kinds of things, and that's okay. As long as that's not the only reason you want to be the leader, if that's why you want to be the leader, go do something else because you're not going to be a good one. It's all about you and how you treat the people in your organization, empower them to be better, and how you run your organization and make it better. That's what leadership is about. And I think the big misconception right now is that it's about me, and it's not about you ever as a leader, or at least it shouldn't be.
I would suspect ego is a big challenge to leadership, because you use the word selfless service. And sometimes when people become leaders, they think they're all that. Like, I'm great because I'm the leader.
Yeah. Well, you know, ego, everybody has an ego. Anybody who tells you they don't have an ego is lying to you. And we want people to have an ego. That's what drives people to be successful. So you want people to have an ego, but good leaders know when to put that ego aside and use other people's skills, knowledge, and abilities. Because I don't care how long you've been leading or doing whatever it is you do, you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the skills. You don't have all the abilities. There's people out there that you can learn from and that you can use their talents to make your organization better. And that's when good leaders know when to put that ego aside and say, okay, I don't know this as well as you do. Help me. Teach me how to do it better.
Oak, what role does mentorship have in developing leaders in a law firm or other organization?
Yeah, mentorship is huge. I think that's one of the main things that leaders have to do. And I don't see a whole lot of it going on today. I see a lot of people who just say they don't have enough time for that. Well, you're helping to develop the next generation of leaders in your organization. If you don't have time to develop them, then again, you're going to reap what you sow. I always tell people, have a mentor and be a mentor. I don't care how high up in your organization you get, you need a mentor. And I get people, CEOs all the time, who tell me, well, there's nobody above me. It's lonely up here. And I said, it's only lonely if you let it be lonely. Just because there's nobody above you in your organization doesn't mean there's not other people in other organizations that you can get advice from and bounce ideas off of and use as a mentor. The only three things that are required for somebody to be a mentor is that they want to be your mentor, they have knowledge that you want, and that you trust them. That's the only three things. They don't have to be in your profession. They don't have to be in your company. They can even be people that are lower than you. I've used mentors. One of my best mentors, when I was a brand new second lieutenant, I was 24 years old, was my platoon sergeant. He had 23 years in the Army. He had been in the Army almost as long as I'd been alive. Why would I not use his knowledge, skills, and abilities?
Absolutely. You know, that's great. Be a mentor and have a mentor. You know, when I now coach lawyers and how to overcome some of the challenges and stresses that they have. And when I started this, I obtained my own coach or mentor who showed me how to kind of build my skill set to do that. And I mentor a whole group of lawyers and help them to be better. Because in law, they often feel like there's no one to talk to. Right. And mentorship can be a real solution. But inside, say, a law firm, you not only have a leader at the top, but it branches down. You have a leader of this department. In that department, you may have a junior partner who's a leader of a paralegal and a legal assistant and a junior associate. So leadership trickles down. So mentorship all the way down is so important. That good leadership skills are present throughout the organization.
Yeah. And again, to me, leadership at all levels in your organization is what's going to, the level of leadership that you have, the quality of leadership you have, is going to determine the success or failure of your organization. So you have to take the time to mentor people, and you have to have a professional development process that helps people become leaders. Because like you said in the beginning, a lot of people become leaders because they were the best at whatever they did. Well, that doesn't mean they're going to be a good leader.
Right.
And unless we give them the training that is required to move up to be that leadership, in that leadership position, then we are guaranteeing that the Peter principle is going to happen, that you have promoted somebody above their ability. And that doesn't help anybody.
Now, I know you called your book, Your Leadership Legacy. What does legacy as a leader mean to you?
Yeah, I named it that for a reason, because I do believe legacy is a huge part of leadership. For me, it's two parts. It's very small part what you did, what you actually did in your organization. Because here's the problem with that. If you tie your legacy to what you did in your organization, when the new boss comes in, when you leave and the new one comes in and they change everything, where's your legacy? I got it. But it is a small, and it's important because in the real world, results do matter. The largest part of your legacy is that next generation of leaders that you produce, help to produce, develop, coach, train, mentor, that are going to take your place when you leave. And then that goes on to the leaders that they help produce, and then the leaders they help produce. So your legacy could be the next 15, 20, 30, 40 years in your organization.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Oak, how tell me about adaptability and resilience. How do they fit within the concept of being a good leader?
That's your job. You got to get results, and you're not going to get results if you're not adaptive and resilient. I had the privilege to listen to General Hal Moore, who is one, probably one of the greatest combat generals this country's ever produced. And he had this saying. He said, "Life is not like baseball. It is not three strikes and you're out. If you try something and it doesn't work, try something else. And if that doesn't work, try something else. And if that doesn't work, try something else. And keep trying until you are successful." You have to be resilient. You have to bounce back from mistakes, from things that don't go your way, because that's called real life. Nobody walks through life and never has a mistake or has a bad thing that happens.
Yes,
So
sometimes no matter how well we do something, it sometimes doesn't work out right. So I was a trial lawyer, and you walk in the courtroom, there's going to be a winner or a loser, and both lawyers may do a fantastic job, but only one of them's going to
that's
win.
right.
Or if our two favorite football teams are playing each other, they probably have good coaches, and I suspect the players are trying hard, but only one of them's going to win.
That's
And
right.
bouncing back from that is so important.
It is.
Law has requires leadership at so many levels. You sometimes have a managing partner, you have different departments, each department has a leader, then you have smaller groups in that. And leadership, and you tell me it's true in many places, but I know in law it's a huge challenge because those who are leaders are working so hard, billing so many hours that the leadership skill set is not something they focus on. It's a chore rather than an honor and a privilege. I love how you describe being a leader as a privilege. But how can in the legal profession or other professions, law firms change their direction and start inspiring people to be good leaders and showing them how to be good leaders? What would be the step for someone listening who wants to become a better leader?
Yeah, I think first of all, personal development, leadership development isn't first and foremost an individual thing. You got to take some ownership in your professional development. But every organization needs to have a professional development program where they're teaching people how to be leaders. Even if they're not going to be a leader at that moment, every bit of knowledge and ability, leadership ability that you impart on somebody is going to help your organization. Because that means they can step up if you need them to. So I think number one is that you got to develop that program that shows people that there is a path for them to be leaders. Because here's the problem. If you don't have that program that says, okay, if you aspire to be a leader, we're going to help you get there, then they're going to leave and go somewhere that does, because that's part of what they want to do. And so you're losing your best talent to somebody else because you aren't providing that focus. And there's a bunch of different ways to do that. A reading program is huge, because I think reading about leadership is important. It's not the be all end all, but it's part of it. And then just have classes, have sessions where you talk about leadership and what makes a good leader, and how to make decisions, and how to include people in that decision-making process, and just walk them through what good leaders do at all levels in your organization.
If you had to pick out the hallmarks, the most important characteristics of a good leader, what would be the most important ones?
Integrity, bar none. It comes down to trust. Leadership is about people. And if people don't trust you, you can't lead them. It's just plain and simple. Character, you know, do the right thing. Even if it's not in your best interest, you still need to do the right thing. That's what leaders do, at least good leaders do. And then I would say empathy. Not that you feel sorry for people, but that you understand where they're coming from and what's going on in their life. You know, the best person in your organization is, they're human. They're going to go through things, that a divorce, a loss of a parent, or God forbid, a child or whatever. You got to take that into account when they're in your organization, because they may not be able to do everything that you want them to do because they're dealing with things, and you got to understand that.
You use the word trust, and I know I've in reading up on you, you talk about the term 360 degree trust. What does that mean as it relates to leadership?
Yeah, so everybody kind of understands that, you know, that leader-led relationship, the person you're leading has to trust you. I think that, you know, that's the number one thing. And if that doesn't exist, doesn't really matter anything else you're doing, because you're not really the leader. But also, you, the leader, have to trust the people you're leading. And again, that goes back to training them to standards, giving them a professional development, establishing the culture in your organization that everybody kind of operates under, a common operating picture. Then everybody in your organization has to trust each other. The people have to trust that people are going to do the right thing, that they're going to do their job, that all those kinds of things. And then, of course, it's not only about your organization. Now you got to deal with people outside your organization, and they need to trust you, and you need to trust them, because nobody's going to do business with you outside your organization if they don't trust your organization. So that, I think you have to have all ingredients of that 360 degree trust if you want your organization to be as effective and efficient as it can be.
You know, you've had quite a career in the military and after. And it's kind of funny, use the word empathy. I've never been in the military, but I don't think of a commanding officer as being empathetic. And so I was a little surprised. I think empathy is important, and it's very difficult for a high profile lawyer to be empathetic, because that's not part of our nature. Our nature is to speak rather than listen, to give advice. But talk about empathy, how it relates to leadership.
Yeah, so I think good leaders, all good leaders, all the good leaders I've worked for had empathy. And again, I don't think that means that you feel sorry for people and that you let people skate because of things, because you still have a mission to do. You still got to get things done, whether that's in the military or a business or whatever. You still got to get results. But you take that into account, and maybe something that you would have given somebody to do, you give it to somebody else for that short period of time, and you let that person deal with what they need to deal with. You know, the best leaders I've ever had, when I show up brand new to a unit, brand new to an organization, the best leader I ever had said, "Oak, take 2 weeks, get your family settled, figure out where you're going to live, what you're doing, and then come back to work."
Wow.
You know, simple.
How thoughtful is that? You know,
exactly. I mean, he had me like that. You know, I got to take care of my family, because we're all brand new place. We don't know anything. We don't know anyone. We don't know any how to get around even. Take 2 weeks, get settled, come on back in.
Wow. Can you talk to me about any sort of transformative moments in your leadership journey where you learned something important about leadership and how that affected you?
Yeah, it's funny, because I tell this story all the time, and it's absolutely true. I was a senior first lieutenant. I was working on a staff, and I was writing orders, writing orders on how we were going to do things, when we were going to do them, and all that. And I had a boss who wasn't married, worked till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And his rule was, if he was in the office, you were in the office. Didn't matter. If he was in the office, he expected you to be in the office. You can imagine what the morale in that organization was. Got a new boss in. Very first day, I'm sitting in the office. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. And I'm working on an order that is for 3-4 weeks from now. I mean, it's not even important really at that point. And I'm working on it. And he's 5 o'clock. He sticks his head around the corner and he says, "Oak, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, sir, I'm working on this op order." And he says, "Is it due tomorrow?" And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Then go home." I mean, it's just simple stuff, you know, but I took that. And when I became an S3, the job he had when I was a major, the first day I took over that position, I called everybody in my office together. And I said, "Look, there are times when I'm going to be here till 8 o'clock at night. Doesn't mean you have to be. If I need you past 5 o'clock, I will tell you. Otherwise, go home and spend time with your family, fishing, whatever it is you do. I don't care, but don't do it here."
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, I heard a story the other day from a younger lawyer who spoke to me about how her boss sent her a text on the weekend and she didn't answer it so quickly. And he called her on the carpet to say, "If I send you a text, you must answer it in 30 minutes or else." Is that an example of good leadership? I don't think so. And she no longer works there because that was just so inappropriately demanding and the opposite of empathy, because there she is at home on the weekend doing whatever she does with her family or whatever. And that's a kind of ridiculous demand that attorney placed on her.
Well, you know, I think actions like that is exactly why we have this great resignation in our country right now. People are tired of it and they're not going to put up with it. And so if you treat people like that, you're going to lose your best people. They're going to go find somebody who does take care of them, who does care about them. And you, again, you're going to reap what you sow.
You talked about building, a lasting legacy. What are some key steps that leaders listening to you today can take to leave a lasting legacy in their group or team?
Yeah, take an interest in the people that you are leading. You know, my last 12 years, I was the recruiter for an Army ROTC program. And my last 3 years on active duty, I ran an ROTC program. So I was responsible for producing the next generation of leaders. And in my 15 years being associated with ROTC, I've had my hand one way or another of commissioning over 580 lieutenants for the Army.
Wow.
And a lot of those stay in contact with me. And the reason they stay in contact is because I took an interest in them. And every one of them, the day they got commissioned, I said, "If there's ever anything I can do for you, you just got to let me know." And a lot of them stay in contact, not to ask me for something, but just say, "Hey, sir, I just got promoted, or I'm moving to this new duty station," or some of them ask for advice. I've got a choice between these two jobs. Which one do you recommend? So just take an interest in people and show them that you care. There's a concept. You actually care about people.
That's so important. I actually had a guest on my podcast a couple months ago, and that's what he talked about. He meets with his staff and say, "What are your personal goals? And what are your professional goals? And how can I help you achieve them?" So, for example, one of them, their personal goal was to run a marathon, which requires some training, et cetera. And I think he gave some support financially, but also accommodated her schedule to allow her to train for that marathon. And some may have a professional goal of moving up to a certain level or position in the organization. And he supported that by giving that person the outside training. And to me, that's what leadership is all about, helping, encouraging the folks beneath you to identify their goals and helping them to achieve them.
And helping them to become the best person they can, not just the best employee. And that's important. But if you make somebody the best person they can be, they're going to be a better employee. That's what people don't understand. And that's what good leaders understand that. And they take the time and effort to help make people better people.
Oak, as we get ready to wrap up, what is one key message that you hope the folks listening today will get from you and from your message about leadership and success?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to me to be a servant leader, that it's not about you. To take the time to take care of the people that you have the privilege to lead. You know, and I, the message I gave every single lieutenant that I helped commission, and I give to anybody that will listen, is that as a leader, you should go out. You are going to make a difference in somebody's life every day as a leader. Guaranteed. You should make a conscious decision to make a positive difference in at least one person's life every day.
Wow. What a great message. How can I make a positive difference in someone's life today? Oak, I want to thank you for being here. I think what you had to say was so important, because the legal professionals who are listening today may not be at the top of their firm, or they may, but they all lead someone or some group of people. And those principles are really so important. And it will help them understand, is this the kind of environment I want to work in? Or can I change this environment to make it more healthy, have better leadership, where we're all working as a team? Because one of the worst things I've heard about law is everyone's working in their silo. I'm doing my work, you're doing your work, we're focusing on getting our own stuff done, but we aren't working as a team. One last question I didn't really focus on: how does communication fit within leadership?
You can't be a leader if you can't communicate. It's that simple. I mean, how can you lead people if you can't tell them what you need and what the standards are and all those kinds of things? So communication is huge. And I mean communication in all forms, whether it's verbal, nonverbal, written. And when I talk about written, I talk about memos, texts, email, handwritten notes. I'm a huge believer in handwritten notes. Never underestimate the power of a handwritten note. And listening is a huge part of communication. If you're a leader and you think communicating is you only telling people what to do and when to do it, how to do it, you're not a leader. You got to be able to leadership. Communication as a leader is a two-way street. So you got to get better at all those. And you can. Communication skills is no different than any other skill. No different than riding a bike. None of us ever got on a bike and never fell off. I still have scars from where I fell off a bike. The only way you're going to get good at leadership is to, or communication, is to develop that skill. Do it and do it and do it, and you'll get better at it.
Communication is so important. And we lawyers like to think we're great communicators. We're persuasive. We know how to write. But sometimes we struggle with the most important part of communication, which is listening.
That's right.
And I know I personally need to do that better, both professionally and personally, is focus really on being a listener first.
We all need to get better at that. I don't care how good you are at it. You can always be better.
Oak, thank you so much for being here today. For our listeners who want to learn more about you and maybe get a copy of your book and maybe talk to you about leadership, how can they best get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a website, ltcoakmccullough.com. And on there, it has my cell phone number. It has my email address. It has all the social media links that I'm on, LinkedIn, which is how we connected. But I'm on Instagram, I'm on X, all those others as well. But I use LinkedIn mostly. Just get in contact with me. I would love to talk to somebody who has questions or just wants to talk about leadership. And I'm happy to always try to make time for anybody that wants to talk.
Oh, thank you so much. I love how you have such a passion for teaching the next generation how to be better leaders. So thank you so much for that. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
And for all you listening, I want to thank each of you for taking your time to be with us today. I appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, please be well, be safe, and be free. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.